we talked about, what if we forgave everyone? The second week was, what if we took control of our words? We realized that our words have the power to both bless and to curse people. And this morning is equally difficult task for me. I find this one among the more difficult things that we have to do. I've struggled with this on many levels. What if I took control of my thoughts? I think this question ranks right up there with taking control of our words and our tongues. When I was about 12 or 13, just hitting puberty, there was a particular scripture text that was very troublesome to me and made me pretty anxious at times and guilty at times. Matthew 5:28. You may remember it. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, I'd committed to follow God's instructions towards sexuality, to wait for sexual intimacy when I was married. But this scripture brought a whole new level to the whole thing, you know. Because I grew up in the age of mini skirts and hot pants for girls, you know. And so I'm thinking, is my thinking always appropriate, you know. And I'd read Matthew and I'd spend a lot of time at the altar trying to get things straightened out in my thinking. And I wanted to make sure I was thinking right. But how in the world do you do that? How do you control that? Have you ever tried to change your thoughts? It's pretty tough, isn't it? You're angry about something. You know you need to let it go and think differently, but how do you do that? The problem is we learn to think a certain way over a period of time, and it's difficult to change that way of thinking even after we come to Christ and are forgiven of our sins and He loves us and He welcomes us into the family. How many Christians do you know that struggle with low self-esteem? They just don't feel very good about themselves. How many Christians do you know who always seem to see the glass half empty? You know, they're just kind of pessimistic about life. Or how many Christians do you know who tend to be negative in their thinking about people, about circumstances in life? Now, notice the Bible tells us that when we come to Christ, we have a new identity, right? That's right. You can shake your head. It is. He tells us, I'm a child of God. Listen to what he says in 1 John 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Say it with me. I am a child of God. Let's try it again. I am a child of God. You know, you are your sons and daughters of God. He also tells us, I'm alive in Christ. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Tell me, say it with me, I'm alive in Christ. Now the third thing, I'm a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. Say it with me, I'm a new creation. Now most of us would agree with these statements, that they're true. Then why do we battle the same old thoughts and feelings that we had before we came to Christ? Why can't we control our minds? Well, Paul kind of gives us a hint and a promise in 2 Corinthians 10. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Wow. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Paul tells us that our warfare is not with weapons. It's a spiritual warfare. Psychiatrists deal with the physical brain. And someone has said that's like treating the hardware in a computer when it's really a software problem. Now, while chemicals can certainly affect the brain, if you're bipolar, please take your medication. But at the same time, many of our mental issues are at their core a spiritual problem. We're thinking wrong. Norman Vincent Peale made this famous statement, "Change your thoughts and you will change your world." Critics say, "Well, that's not easy. How is that even possible? Change your thoughts, change your world." Well, my response is, no, it's not easy, but it is possible that if you change your thoughts, you change your world. Changing how you think. Why is it not easy? Have you ever been around a smoker in a non-smoking environment? I was in the grocery store recently, and a guy was walking through the store. He had a cigarette in his mouth. He couldn't light it, but he was, you know, it felt good to just have it there, you know, and he was in an environment that was non-smoking, you know. And so when you're in a non-smoking environment, you're, you know, kind of constantly reaching for wherever you keep them, you know, and it's kind of an uncomfortable thing. And it's something that you've been doing many years in your life, and it's a really difficult habit to break, and it's tough, you know. If you've ever had self-esteem issues, those didn't just start yesterday. They probably started in your childhood. Can't you ever get anything right? You'll never amount to anything. We tend to think through the filter of prophesied failure. You can think about that. We tend to think through the filter of prophesied failure. We often think without thinking what we're thinking about. That's a mouthful. We often think about without thinking what we're thinking about. If we have a tendency towards negative thinking and you do nothing to curb that tendency, your worldview and your lifestyle will kind of have a negative tint to it. It really will. And that's a major problem for Christ followers, because we've been told that we're to live life abundantly, right? Isn't that what John says? I came to give you life abundantly in John 10. We are children of God, and yet I regularly encounter folks in church who simply do not think that way when it comes to their situations in life. And there's some real problems that come with wrong kind of thinking as Christ followers. When we are habitual negative thinkers, there's some things that are problems for us. One, it robs you of your life of faith. It robs you of your faith. It's difficult to live with an attitude that says, God is bigger than my problems, when you approach every problem this way. Well, that just ruins everything. It's all over. It's difficult to live with an attitude that I'm blessed and highly favored by God, when every time we face an inconvenience or a setback in life, our response is, here we go again. Life never works out for me. Negativity tends to lead to inactivity in our lives. It's kind of the what's the use mentality. Have you ever met anybody that's given up? You know, what's the use? Why bother trying? I can never get ahead financially. Why diet? I can never lose weight. Why pray? God never answers my prayers. Why should I strengthen my marriage? My wife doesn't appreciate anything I do anyway. When you give in to that natural tendency of negativity, it's easy to then give in to the temptation to do nothing with your life. Negative thinking causes us to have isolation in our relationships. We tend to focus on what's wrong with ourselves and with others. It tricks us into thinking that there's nothing that can be done to change our lives. And scripturally, that's the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches us. Focusing on our faults causes us to ignore and miss the good qualities that bring the fullness to a relationship. I was in a counseling session about 8 years ago with a couple, and the woman just said, "I just don't love him." I said, "So you don't love him?" "No, I don't love him." I said, "So when you got married, were you forced to marry him?" No, I loved him then." "Well, what's happened? What's changed? What did you love then?" Circumstances had changed the focus from what is right to what is wrong. And when we focus on what's wrong, it changes our relationships, right? It narrows them. It hurts them. What if I changed how I thought? How would that change me? Well, first of all, I'd be a lot happier, and so would you. When we change our thinking, we're happier. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that a person who is positive simply enjoys life more than somebody who always feels like life is just a bucket of worms, you know? It's just terrible. A few years ago, our youth group was taking the trip to Denver for IYC, International Youth Convention, and they had planned for it and raised money for a year and a half or so, and they'd rented this bus. And one of the, our youth counselor, our youth minister was Josh Bowman, and his little son Zeke was 3 years old then. And because he was the youth pastor's kid, he got to go along. And he brought a different perspective to the trip. When they got on the bus, a lot of them were dreading, you know, the long drive. Not Zeke. "Man, wow, you can watch movies on this bus." He was really excited about that. And they stopped at Warner University, and he got to stay in the same dorm where his dad went when he was going to college there. And his statement was, exact words, "This is the best bed in the world." He was really fired up about the whole trip. And the rest of the group began to see things through Zeke's eyes. Even when the bus broke down in Atlanta and they couldn't finish the trip after they planned for it for all this time, and they made the best of what they had, and they had a great week staying in Atlanta because they saw things differently through Zeke's eyes. We choose how we view our circumstances in our lives. We can't change our circumstances, but we can change how we view our circumstances. Life is so much better when we truly believe that God is for us. Sometimes as Christ followers, we forget God's on our side. That's a pretty big deal, right? We should remember that. When you take control of your thoughts, you get a more accurate view of the world. One of my wife's favorite movies is Pollyanna. Now, some of you are way too young to remember Pollyanna, but ask Brenda, she'll let you watch it. She's probably watched it 20 times. And if you remember, Pollyanna is this kind of sweet little girl. Her dad was a minister, and he had died. And so she's moved in with her aunt, who is really one of those really negative, the world's coming to an end, terrible thinking kind of people. And one afternoon, she's out in the woods, and the preacher, the church where Pollyanna attends, is practicing his sermon. And he's got his Bible, and he's screaming and yelling at the logs, telling them all the things they need to straighten up and all the things they need to do, and he's so angry. And she's watching this, and she finally says, "My father was a pastor." He goes, "Oh, really?" She goes, "Yeah." And he liked to speak on the happy text. He goes, "Happy text? You know, all the things that God does for us and how much he loves us." Now, many people have criticized Pollyanna for seeing the world through rose-colored glasses. I think positive thinking is seeing the world as it is and as it could be. And I like this word better, transformational thinking. It's a good biblical word. It does not mean that we don't think about negative things. It means we don't think about them negatively. Negative thinker says, "This is terrible, and nothing can be done." I call this stinking thinking. Transformational thinkers say, this is a terrible situation. How can we make it better with God's help and God's wisdom? Positive thinking is action-oriented thinking. It looks for God's solution to the problems we face in life. When you begin to think in terms of what can I do with God's help instead of what's the use, you become a lot more productive in your life. On our history night here a couple weeks ago, I asked folks to write down the most devastating events that have taken place over the decades in this church. And the number one event, guess what it was? The church burnt down. That's pretty bad, right? But out of the ashes, look where you are. You know? The church burnt down, but you're here in this incredibly beautiful building. When you take control of your thoughts, instead of spending less time and spend less time thinking about how negative things are, you can see God at work in amazing ways. When I first went to Daytona, my second year there, I had a gal working in the business office. She didn't go to our church. She wasn't a very positive person. And she had a two-year-old in our preschool. Our preschool was huge. It was 200 kids. And a lot of the kids got sick. You get 200 preschoolers together, they kind of get sick. Well, she decided that it was the quality of the air in the preschool that was causing all the kids to get sick. And she began to share that with a lot of people, which wasn't really healthy for our preschool. So we did the tests. We did all kinds of expensive tests to test the quality of the air, which was perfect. And I called her into my office, and I said, we need to talk. You're sharing information that's simply not true, and it's not helpful to anybody. And she began to cry. She goes, oh, if you're going to talk to me this way, I've got to get my husband. So she brings her husband in, who's a policeman. And he didn't say anything the whole time we were talking. He just sat directly across from me with his hand on his gun the whole time. I'm thinking, okay, this might not be good. You know, this might not be good. And after the situation's over, you know, she's pretty angry, and I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to work with this person who is so negative about everything? And it's like the Holy Spirit said, well, you're going to work with them by loving them. So I began to treat her as I would want to be treated, with kindness and respect and love. And I'd like to tell you it got better quickly. It didn't. But about 6 months later, she came to me and she said, Pastor, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. She didn't have her husband with a gun there this time. That was good. And she said, things aren't going well in my life at all. And would it be okay if I came to your church? I said, sure, absolutely. She started coming to our church. Her husband began to have an affair and left her. But that didn't devastate her because of her faith, because she came to know Jesus in a powerful way. We did a survey of our community. We found out that 48% of the people within 2 mile radius of our church were single moms. And so she began the single moms ministry along with another former single mom when she was still married, and all of a sudden she was a single mom. And these young women in our church began to transform our church in such a powerful way, to see people going through really tough situations. It's tough being a mom, period, but a single mom trying to raise your kids is really hard. And begin to see these lives transformed, and I look back at that and I thought, this really bad situation that could have ended really badly, by God's power and by thinking differently, God has transformed this person into one of my best friends now, who leads one of our major ministries at the church. When you change how you think, when you get control of your thought life, it will improve your emotional state, your spiritual life, and your relationships, and even your ability to do your job. So how do we take every thought captive? Well, first of all, you think on purpose. What Paul says, take every thought and make it obedient to Christ. He's talking about how the world influences our belief systems and how it influences how we think. And it fails to factor into the equation a God who loves us, who is for us, who has called us His children. Have you ever noticed how when you begin to have the wrong kind of thinking, the stinking thinking, it begins to build momentum when we surrender to it? Surrendering to wrong sexual thoughts can lead us down a path that includes pornography and a bunch of other really bad things. The progression of wrong thinking goes something like this. Wow, Mike has a really nice car. I wish I could have a nice car, but I can't have a nice car. My finances are a mess, and I'm probably never going to do any better financially. The days of prosperity are over in my life. You see, you begin to go down this really negative spiral that takes you nowhere. Wrong thinking leads us down a path of resignation and stagnation in our lives. What if we really believed Philippians 4, 4, and 5? Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. When life throws you a curve, and it always does, doesn't it? The Lord is near. Did you realize that? Say it with me. The Lord is near. That's pretty good news, isn't it? I think it is. When we begin to believe that God is always with us, He's not some distant, non-caring being, but He's so close and He cares, we can begin to think differently. Until you are aware of God's presence, you're going to have a hard time thinking differently. When I was a young pastor, I went out to Robert Schuller's church, the Crystal Cathedral in California. Robert Schuller, you know, was this positive thinker guy. But more than that, he was a deeply committed follower of Christ. A lot of people didn't. The guy knew that he could quote the entire Bible. It was amazing. I was just kind of blown away in meeting him. I had a chance to go with him to Australia, too. He was just a great guy. And he was sharing that he planted a church in Chicago, and it just didn't do anything. It failed. And he was pretty discouraged and pretty beat up, and they wanted him to come and plant a church in California. And he thought, okay, I'll go. And he said that on the way to California, we stopped at Albuquerque. We had a little U-Haul trailer behind our car. And in the coffee shop, he got out a napkin. He wrote down 10 different places that he could possibly meet with a new church. You know, and he had the funeral home and the school and the normal list. And he made his list, and as he went to go through it and started contacting people, the first 9 things were no. And the 10th thing was a drive-in theater. And he thought, that's weird. So he started preaching on top of the roof of the concession stand at a drive-in theater, and a crazy thing started happening. People who normally didn't come to church came to church because they were handicapped and they couldn't walk into their church, or they were afraid of crowds, or there were, you know, situations in their life that made it difficult for them to be in a building. And they had more people outside the church than they had inside the church. And he was blown away by that, and I was blown away by this fact. I thought, I would have probably stopped the second no. And for sure, by the 5th, no. But you see, when you realize that God is near and He can transform any situation, you keep on pressing on because God is with you. Brenda became sick several years ago. It's been almost 20 years ago now. And it was really bad. We didn't know what it was. She couldn't function. She had to quit her job as a teacher. I had to carry her up the steps to our bedroom on the second floor. She couldn't walk up the steps. She couldn't drive for 3 years. And I'll tell you more about that in a couple weeks, but what made it so bad was the timing of it. We had 3 boys in 4 years. They were all in high school and all getting ready to go to college. And I'm thinking, how in the world are we going to put 3 kids in college? We had 3 all the same time at 1 year. How are we going to do that on my salary? We were going to have a hard time doing it on both of our salaries. I'm thinking, this seems impossible. But guess what? God is near. And he brought about a whole slew of miracles I'll share with you sometime. But basically, the real miracle was the one we didn't even anticipate. Looking back several years later, as God miraculously healed Brenda and as she's looking through her journals, we realized that she could never have been home with our three teenage boys at that particular moment in our lives. Financially, it was impossible. But because she was able to impact their lives at a very critical time in an amazing way. And God kind of had a bonus in there that we didn't even anticipate in all of what seemed like a very negative situation that he brought about. So dissect and evaluate each thought against Scripture and the fact that God is near and present for you. See if that thought measures up to the truths he has for us. And think about these thoughts through a filter. Not a negative filter, not a pessimistic filter, but God's Word. Listen to what he says in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Every Christ follower needs to memorize that list. As you think about what you think about, run it through that filter. Is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it worthy of praise? In other words, are these thoughts of mine worthy of my time? Many of you know that I'm not a very techie person, but I'm told that web designers use a little trick on web pages. If they actually want you to go to another page, it's called a redirect code. If the website or the web page is changed or the name's moved, when you go on, it'll automatically redirect you to the correct address. In your thought life, you need to learn that redirect code. When you find yourself thinking about something in a way that's not honoring Christ, we need to move our thoughts to something good and something that's praiseworthy. Think in the direction of the change. Bernard Shaw said this, "Those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything." Paul said much the same thing with these words. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and perfect will." Transformed thinking starts when we think differently. Remember that quote from Norman Vincent Peale? "Change your thoughts, you'll change your world." When we change how we think, we change ourselves. Taking control of our thoughts doesn't mean that we just think pretty things. It means that we become a new person who is able to apply the power and the nearness of God to some very disappointing and negative things that occur in our lives. I have a good friend, or had a good friend. His name was Charlie Smith. Charlie began the ministry of Heart to Honduras and impacted thousands of lives in that country. Charlie was a great guy. He would call me all the time and tell me that I needed to listen to the Lord, that I needed to be doing more for these poor people. He was kind of the voice of my ear. And when Charlie was 53 years old, he was diagnosed with a pulmonary illness that basically your lungs kind of turned to concrete. And I remember the first time he told me about it, he was breathing like this if he walked just a few steps. And there was nothing they could do. It was a death sentence. He went to all the best clinics. And I remember when they found out there was nothing more they could do for him, he said, "I want to go to Honduras." So he went to the little village where we had done so much ministry in Canchias. And I went to see him a few weeks before he died. And he was struggling to breathe. He goes, "Steve, God loves us so much. And Steve, he wants you to do more for these poor people." And then he said, "You know what he does for me?" He goes, "Every morning, the kids come outside my window and they sing songs of praise." And he goes, "It's like listening to the angels." And when Charlie died, they buried him on top of a mountain. And because it was solid rock, the poor Hondurans for 18 hours straight used picks and sledgehammers to make a place to put Charlie. And this was Charlie's last request. "When you bury me in my boxer shorts, because some poor Honduran can use my jeans." Charlie knew what transformational thinking looks like. We know God is near even in the worst of circumstances. Peter said it this way, "Prepare your minds for action." Taking control of our thoughts does not leave us paralyzed, but moves us to action. What can I do through the power of God working in my life? It's hard work. Over a lifetime, we develop patterns of thinking, and sometimes those patterns are pretty negative. And Thoreau said that you can't develop a path by walking across one time. You know, it's a repeated pattern. You can't change your thinking by saying, "Okay, I'm going to think differently after this sermon today." No, it's a rethinking and rethinking to make a deep mental path. We go over and over and over again until we begin to think the way Christ wants us to think, transformationally. This is your situation, it's bad, but we can change that because God is near. Taking control of our thinking is not a one-time event. It's a daily process. But the rewards are absolutely amazing. I wish I had time today to just tell you about all the people that I have known over the years. You know, you say people never change. Oh, yes, they do. I've seen people change in their 70s and their 80s. I've seen teenagers turn their lives around, change their thinking, change their behavior, simply because they've learned that God can transform our minds and change our minds. Sometimes I find myself worrying about financial issues. I'm in a new stage of my life, you know, retiring. And I remember when in 2008, when the market crashed, I'm thinking, I did the math. I go, "Okay, I can retire for about 3 months, and then I'm out of money." And I'm thinking, this is not good, you know. And I'd saved hard all my life, but that was a big setback. But I decided, you know what? If God wants me to preach till I'm 85, that's great. I'll do whatever he wants me to do. And God has been faithful in amazing ways, as he's always faithful, because God is near. It's not always been my timing, but it's always been at just the right time, his timing. You want to change your life? Change how you think. Start right now by allowing the Holy Spirit to filter your thoughts through his love. And the next time you start doing stinking thinking, say, "God, I want to think about what's good, what's beautiful, what's important. I want to start remembering that you're near and that you can change my situation and you can change how I think about my situation." I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for just a moment. Let me ask you this morning, are you taking every thought captive for Christ? Or is your thinking keeping you trapped? What if you realized and believed that God is always near? What if you allowed the Holy Spirit to transform your thought life? What if you focused on the power of God and not the power of your circumstances? Change your thinking, change your world. Start today. Dear Jesus, today we come into your presence realizing that you have declared that we are your children. You have declared that you're with us always. You have declared that you have the power to overcome the biggest obstacles in our lives. You can move the mountains. You can change our children. You can change our grandchildren. You can change the direction of our finances. You can change the direction of our marriages. But it begins when we allow you to change how we think. So today, Lord, help us to forget the past and press on toward the high calling that you have given us in Christ Jesus. Change our hearts. Change our minds. Change our world. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Stand with me as we sing.